Hi everyone, this is Phil Pringle on the C3 Church Global podcast. I'm so thrilled always to have you with us. Thanks for jumping on, and love you to hit that subscribe button so we turn up in your inbox each week when you can receive fresh messages from C3 Church Global and myself. And I'm so looking forward to sharing this word with you today. I know that you're going to be blessed, you're going to be encouraged, and faith is going to fill your heart. I'm believing with you for the best in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's go to the word. I wanted to respond, I guess, to a question that I was asked in a Q&A at a leadership session we did recently. And I love that. I love talking for a little while and then letting people ask questions, because sometimes as speakers, we're not quite touching exactly where people are itching. But one of these, the one question that I was asked here that I wanted to respond to here, I'm asked more and more frequently as I get older. I'm 67 now. I've been serving the Lord and leading churches for nearly 50 years. And Chris and I were married around 48 years ago. And so there's a lot of time spans in there that people look at and wonder, how did you do that? Especially in a time when we're quite aware that in some nations, the average tenure for a pastor is around 18 months. Some, it's around 3 years, but it's not long. And as soon as pastors take on the role of leading a church, they're a target. And they're a target from a human point of view. People just want to be critical. They want to take shots at them and discuss them and not support them, or else they're a target for the devil. And he really tries to hammer them so that they won't be effective. And so as soon as anybody steps into the role of leadership, they must anticipate that they will encounter opposition. They will encounter trials. And these trials, many of them will be the making of a man. And often God will take you through a lot of trials before he puts you in a position of leadership, so that you are equipped when you do land in that role for the many variety of trials that will come your way. And these pressures are not small. The reason you've been made a leader is because God wants you to lead and to take people where most of them don't want to go can be a real challenge. A few do want to go, the early adapters, they'll go with you. But there's always a reasonable number of people who resist being led anywhere. And so learning the art of being persuasive and keeping people with you, keeping people on the bus, keeping people in the vision, are skills that God can teach us to have. So I would say that one of the areas that a leader must develop to have longevity, that you are going to make the distance. And this is the question I was asked: how come you're still on your feet? How come you're still doing things and aiming at finishing strong? That's my goal, to finish strong. The way that we achieve this, some of it is not that spiritual, or seemingly. I would say at the top of the list is that you should not be so driven with the call of God on your life and to do your job that you never take a break. I know plenty of pastors and leaders who are quite proud of the fact, no, never have a holiday, working all through the year. I'm going to rust out, I'm going to burn out. And all these statements that are kind of silly. This is a high-pressure job. And it demands emotional and mental strain, not so much physical strain, but definitely internal pressure and strain. And that's why often you'll feel exhaustion and not even having done a lot of physical work. And preaching and teaching is a pouring out of ourselves at an energy level that's extremely high. So the need for us to recoup emotionally, mentally, and physically is important. So I take two breaks in the year, one around Christmas and New Year, one in the middle of the year, And both of them are around 2 to 3 weeks long. Every week, I make sure Monday is sacred. It is off. I don't go into the office. I don't do anything to do with work that is demanding on me. And if something comes, I shift it over to Tuesday. If it's a big problem and everybody's yelling urgent, I still have got to figure out whether the devil's trying to set my agenda or I am in control. And if it can really wait, it can wait. Every week, I need a break from the week before and the week coming, and it gives you time to mentally recuperate. My day, each day, I make sure that I am not rushing into work early in the morning and leaving late at night. If I've got a long day at the latter part of the day, I'll arrive at the church or at offices later in the day. Some days I may not even go in. So I'll prepare the Word of God and be in prayer for the coming weekend. You cannot spend all your week in management meetings, things that tire you out, things that do not enthuse you. Some things have to be done that are in that zone, but an overdosing on that is going to wear you out. And you need your emotions and your mind strong for winning lost people and bringing the gospel and the Word of God into people's lives. Every board needs to make sure that their pastor is having adequate rest so that he can recreate and he can rejuvenate so that he's on board again. And that our pastors should not be doing things that they don't need to be doing, that other people should be doing. We need to keep the man of God in good shape to accomplish all that he's meant to be doing. So make sure you have those breaks. Also, we need to, and this is an interesting statement because it's out of the Bible. Our wise friend Solomon told us, don't be over righteous much and don't be over wicked much. That's kind of cool, right? It's saying like, hey, don't be this super duper holy guy who just never allows himself any little innocent delight in life and doing things you love. On the other hand, don't do immoral things. Don't do wicked stuff. Don't be evil. People who live a very legalistic Christianity are eventually going to bust out and do some terrible things, and they've never learned the art of restraint. In some areas, abstinence is not going to help you because you never learn how to live with restraint, how to say so much and no more. And you cannot live in an area of self-discipline if you just completely chop all the trees down in the garden. If I was Adam and God had put that tree there, I'd say, well, give me an axe. I'll get rid of it right now. So there's no chance of us ever eating of it. God says, no, I want you to look after it like all the other trees. Just that tree, you're not allowed to eat from it. So it was within his grasp and in his zone all the time. And that's another area. For longevity to be in place, we have got to make sure that we do not construct our world so that temptation can easily be yielded to. So that means I don't have meetings with women in my office with the door closed. I definitely don't travel or do anything like that with a member of the opposite sex, and I make sure that I am not in any compromising situations that are going to allow things to happen that should not happen. And we need to make sure that if we are ever found in those circumstances, people who travel a lot will find themselves inevitably in circumstances that need managing. So at those points, consent not, the Bible says, when evildoers entice you. And everybody's going to be tempted. You can't stop temptation. Even Jesus was tempted to do things that he shouldn't have done. He was tempted. He didn't do them. And you'll be tempted. I'll be tempted. That's not where the issue is. The issue is whether we have got a wall, a boundary in our life that has been preset so that we don't cross that. We just say, that's where I don't go. And we don't even entertain the idea. It may feel like we're denying ourselves a legitimate pleasure, but that's something that Jesus said you do. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And as we do that more and more, we develop a stronger muscle of denying ourselves and being a true disciple of Jesus, following him and not giving consent to doing any of those things that would corrupt us or destroy us. When it comes to finances, some people feel that they should not be paid too much and the board feel they should not be paid too much. That can be a very destructive thing. When a family is constantly hampered from living a beautiful life, a pleasant life, because there are other people surrounding them that feel they should be kept at a just above poverty line. And then there's, on the other side, extravagances, where people have lived lives that they don't need to live at that level, and they're living it on the free will gifts of God's people. So unnecessary extravagance in the name of blessing is not displaying to other people wisdom or to the people who trust us great wisdom. So, but in the middle there, somewhere in there is a definite world of being blessed with an acceptable level of abundance in our lives and not becoming ridiculous about it. We're not preaching a gospel that is only preaching that's the big end game in life, to be hugely wealthy. The end game in life is to be hugely fulfilling the will of God and doing the right thing in this world. The last point I would say, it is to do with family life and your marriage and investing in your marriage so that it stays in a healthy spot. It's inevitable marriages will go through rough days, sometimes rough weeks, sometimes rough months, even rough years. And you might have a couple years where it's been pretty rugged, pretty tough. In those times, read books, get some counsel. If that's not working, then at least communicate and start to talk with each other and accept the limitations on your relationship, what the limitations are. Don't be expecting more from each other than each other can deliver. Don't be expecting from the other what only God can give you. And as the leader in the house, if you're the leader in the house, then be true to God and be the priest of that house and pray every day over your family. I would say that the secret to longevity is having a lifestyle of prayer and the Word of God, fulfilling the call of God in ministry and making sure that you're in good shape through these things that I've spoken about. Well, everybody, that's it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm looking forward to sharing the Word of God again with you next week. Why don't you send a review in? Help us do better. Let us know how we're doing. And you can follow myself at Phil Pringle on Instagram, or Chris, my wife, at Chris A. Pringle on Instagram. And you can tag a friend and we can spread the word around the world. God bless you. You have a great day.